to Joshua chapter 1. I looked into Deuteronomy. You know, I was doing a more historical approach here to Israel at that time. Deuteronomy is the second statement of the law. It's got a lot of law in it. It's a great book. But to stay with the theme of what I've been doing, after looking a few chapters in Deuteronomy, I said, you know, the first part of Deuteronomy is about going back over where they've been. It was written as they were just on the other side of the Jordan River from Jericho, and talking about how the Lord did this and how they did this, and recounting the journey until chapter 4, where it starts getting into teaching. And so I just said, well, I'm going to stick to this and go to Joshua chapter 1. So let's look there. Verse 1. Now it came about after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, that the Lord spoke to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' servant, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, cross this Jordan, you and all this people, to the land which I am giving to them, to the sons of Israel. Every place on which the sole of your foot treads, I have given it to you, just as I spoke to Moses. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, even as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and as far as the great sea toward the setting of the sun will be your territory. No man will be able to stand before you all the days of your life. Just as I have been with Moses, I will be with you. I will not fail you or forsake you. Be strong and courageous, for you shall give this people possession of the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous. Be careful to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, so that you may have success wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and you will have success. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not tremble or be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Let's pray. What reassuring words from you, Lord, to Joshua, that everything that he would do would be successful as he walked in your way and as Israel walked in your way. No enemy could stand against them. No piece of land would be withheld from them. Their only great need was to meditate day and night on your word, and they would be successful. And so, Lord, as they embark upon this, we embark with them on this very exciting time that they were entering. After all that wandering and getting nowhere, to be able to go into the promised land. And I pray, Lord, that it would be instructive to us. In Jesus' name, amen. Any worthwhile endeavor or life should accomplish two things very generally. One is you should get to where you want to be. You should be. You should get to the place where you should be. And after that, you should stay at the place where you should be. And I'm not talking about geography or a job, but as a person, to be and to stay who you should be. So if you have a worthy endeavor and you go after that and you accomplish that, that's a very important step. It is a step. The journey is to stay there. Really, if you get there, and all you did was get there, and after that you did not stay there, well, then you've negated the getting there. You've knocked both of that down at the end. Getting there and staying there. Getting at the right place, staying at the right place. Many Bible schools and many churches have gotten to the right place. They've gotten there. They've made a stand. Our church has in the past. Bible schools have made a stand. They said, we're a Bible school. We're going to teach the Bible. You could probably trace all the Bible schools and seminaries and such as that. You'll have some that are solid for, you know, a long, long time. Most, though, as new generation comes in, they fall. I've said before, Princeton used to be a Bible college. Jonathan Edwards was the president of Princeton. It was a Bible school. You'd probably say the same thing about a lot of the, Ivy League schools. They were focused on the Bible. You get a Bible in there now, you get sued, I'm sure. It's completely changed. Schools start solidly conservative, they flake off. A lot of Southern Baptist churches start off, we believe the Bible, then they don't. We believe the Bible is inerrant, then they don't. We believe the Bible is all you need, then they don't. It happens that way. Getting there is great. Staying there is greater. Anybody will tell you now who knows these things, and we've experienced this at a church, is that a new church will lose probably in the first to second year of its existence at least 50% of the people it started with, because they don't stay. They get to the right place. They don't stay at the right place. It's a flash in the pan kind of approach. It's all over. And this country started really in a lot of ways in the right place. Not that our forefathers were all Christians. They surely weren't. But with the Bible, and the Bible being a source for the Constitution and feeding the laws and such as that, that's even in revisionist history, they've not written all that out yet. And to honor the Bible and to honor God and our one nation under God, all that, which later on the Pledge of Allegiance mentioned, that was the very good starting point. If you don't stay there, you become an entirely different thing. You lose the whole deal. It's like you pull the weeds out. Nobody pulls weeds and then says immediately afterwards, well, I never had to worry about that again. They're coming back. If they don't come back miraculously for a year, well, they're coming back. Nobody thinks otherwise. The persistence, the encroachment of the world around us is very strong. And to stay where we should be is very, very hard. When we're kids, we look at airplanes going up into the sky, it looks the easiest thing. Oh, that's, I want to do that. And we think we could actually flap our arms and go up. Science has to reckon with something called gravity. Gravity makes it very difficult to get off this planet. You have to be going at escape velocity to get off this planet. We don't think about that when we're watching the TV shows. And I saw Bugs Bunny getting a rocket and go to the moon just as easy as pie. It wasn't hard. But to get escape velocity is tens of thousands of miles per hour. It is, you got to go fast, you got to get up there, and you got to get to where the earth is no longer pulling and as much, and you got rocket power, and you could tear yourself away from it. It's hard. And once on the Lord's path, the devil even more goes about as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. The world is never rests. To get people who get where they should be to get off where they should be. And it's usually just a very, very small step. If you want to be victorious over the opposition, and to us, the devil is our opposition, and the devil sees us as his opposition. What would the devil have us do to fail? Well, just keep opposing, keep us from starting. Failing that discourages. The devil can whisper a discouragement and break a heart, Break the spirit. Open hostility is sometimes used. People are shamed. You did that. You believe that. You go to that church. You read the Bible. You see, it makes you look like you're stupid and they're smart. Make somebody feel odd and different. If people make you feel like you're odd, some people can't stand that. They can't handle it. They've got to fit in. That's our most natural desire. The world seduces us. The world throws money at us. The world desires to bind us in error. If you think, it's scary if we think about it, how much error our world operates under as though it were true. The bulk of humanity believes, colleges, high schools, elementary schools, all the way down, that we evolved from a chance existence. The Big Bang is believed as scientific fact. Evolution is believed as scientific fact. And all that does is remove God. If these things come about without God, what is the purpose of God? And that's the point, is to bring people to where they are focused upon something other than God. Right now it's Mother Earth. Oh, we got to save the earth. What do you need in times like this? Well, it says right here in Joshua, Moses has died. The Lord would not take Moses across the Jordan, and Moses was 120 years old. Even in that time, that's getting on up there. So, and he was among a bunch of people except for Joshua and Caleb. But all the older ones, they died, you know, the 40 years. You got people who are 60 and less now. So these times now call for new leadership. And the Lord says, Moses is dead. And now it's time to cross the Jordan. And Moses is not going to be there. Moses was there for the Red Sea. Moses is given the greatest compliment in verse 2 by the Lord. Moses, my servant. That is how Moses is seen by the Lord. He's my servant. Now, Joshua, you're my servant. And I'm giving you this land, and you're going to have to cross over and take it. Easy to read it better than to go take it. Because remember the other time, in the other generation, 40 years previously, when the Lord said, go take the land, they were afraid of the giants in the land, of the land itself. They badmouthed the land. They just said they couldn't do it. Let's go back to Egypt. How many times they said, let's go back to Egypt? I haven't even counted. And I know they're not all recorded for us. They didn't go. They couldn't go. They saw even the richness of the land, and they would not go. And now here we are, part two. Time to go in. And what did they lack back then? They lacked courage. They lacked faith. They lacked strength. Not from God. God had it all there for them, but in themselves. They panicked. They cowered. They were cowards. They could not go. They would not go. They were so afraid. They shrunk back. That is exactly where the devil wants to get every child of God, every good work. The devil does not care, I really believe, does not care if we start a good work. That is not much of a challenge to him. What challenges the devil is to stay in the good work. To profess something, not a problem. To stay in it, that is much more of an of an assault on the devil's kingdom. So, courage. And what do we see here? After the Lord says, I'm going to give you this land. I've already given you this land. You can't get any better than, you know, how much land do I have with this promise? And verse 3, the Lord says, here's the deed. Here's the description of the boundaries of the land that I'm giving to you. Every place on which the sole of your foot treads, I have given it to you, just as I spoke to Moses. Where would you go tomorrow if the Lord said that was for you? Everywhere you walked, tomorrow is yours. You know where I would go. Some of that. But you know, you can walk. And it wasn't just for a day. Everywhere they went. And he gave some boundaries there. From the wilderness of Lebanon, far as the great river, the Euphrates, you know, south, north, east, west. They were given a bunch of land. And verse 5 says, no man will be able to stand before you all the days of your life. You'll never be able to lose under a certain condition. Just as I've been with Moses, I will be with you. I will not fail you or forsake you. Everything is in place. All the ducks are in a row. All the land is yours. No one can beat you. Verse 6, be strong and courageous. That is repeated in this chapter by the Lord. It is repeated all the way to the end of this chapter from the people. The last four words of the chapter, be strong and courageous. Be strong in spirit. It had nothing to do with muscle. He's not being told to work out and get, you know, buffed up. He is being told that his spirit must be strong to lay hold of what God has given to them. As the leader, he's got to set the example first of being strong and courageous. To be courageous isn't the absence of fear. It is action regardless of fear. It is action to obtain what is God's will for you to obtain. In this case, courage is mentioned in two areas for Joshua. In verse 6, be strong and courageous, for you shall give this people possession of the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. The first courage, and the most obvious one, although not the most important one, is the land. That they will have to fight war. They have to have wars and battles, and they have to place their lives on the line to believe what God has said, that no man is able to stand before you all the days of your life. To put that in action. It's theory at that point in the people. It's not theory in God's viewpoint. It's a promise. But to them, it's just theory until they do it. Until they prove God's word by action. So it is not in any way that they're inactive or passive in it. Why didn't God, if he wants to give them the land? And God can do this. Why didn't he just wipe those people off the face of the earth himself? You want it done right? There it is. He could have sent plague. He could have sent storms, floods, shocked the place with lightning, scared them off with wild beasts. There's no limit how God could have cleared the land. He He didn't do it. He, as he does, is using people to accomplish his will, and people, therefore, need courage and strength. The Lord does not need any of that. But if you're going to conquer the task that God has placed before us, it takes courage. So, first, courage in taking the land. Second, and this is emphasized more because it's more important in the staying aspect. Two, verse 7, only be strong and very courageous. Be careful to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, so that you may have success wherever you go. Courage also in keeping the law. A lot of people don't think of courage except in physical acts of bravery. But to be courageous and keep the law is in itself courage. In our world, to keep God's word means you're setting yourself against the world around you. For a kid in school these days, if that child is a Christian and wants to have a Christian name and stand on Christian principles in school, he needs courage and strength. He will not be encouraged by the school or by his peers. He will be ostracized. People try to make him fall. There is all sorts of things the world will do because the world delights in conformity. That is all the world wants of us, to be them. Not to say they can be them, and we accept them being them, but that we also have to be them. And it takes courage to do that. And if they're courageous and they fight the Lord's battles and they keep the law, verse 8 says they should not let it depart from their mouth, but meditate on it day and night, so that it's in them, that they not turn from it to the right or left, to do all according to that's in it. Then you will have success. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not tremble or be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Now Joshua, already from his previous time as a spy in the land, has shown courage. He may, with the weight of leadership on him, had some trembling. I don't know. I do know he's told me a number of times here to be strong and courageous. Take the job. Do the job. Go at it. We're trusting you. Do it. Go on out there. And so that is what the Lord lays upon him. To do that takes courage. A bunch of it. These people will go from fearful to cocky in a little short time. They're going to have to balance themselves out and be the people that God has made them to be, and to be strong and courageous. Because if you fail in that, then you've given up the reason you're there in the first place. We know from the history of Israel that once they came into the land, over the course of time, they were evicted from it. Because of what? They did not keep the law. And we also know that when they went into the land, although there's indication that they were at least represented in all the parts of the land, they did not fully take it like they should have. I don't know how the Lord could have been clearer in the first 9 verses here about what they should do, what they could do, and what he would do for them as they were strong and courageous. There is such a pressure to conform today. It takes a strong person. I admire. I mean, there are people who stand strong in a wrong thing. Every Jehovah's Witness I've ever had come by my door, they stand strong in their beliefs. They're not right. But I mean, they stand more in error than a lot of Christians stand in truth. they've been brainwashed maybe. They may believe it with all their heart. But there is a constant pull on us to conform. I did a list today. I didn't even get started good about all the ways that our society pressures us today to conform. We're supposed to conform to the proper use of pronouns now. We can't say he or she anymore because that's cisgender. Cisgender means we take it biologically. We take our genders biologically. We believe biologically genders are determined. So he or she. I'm calling you ladies a she, and I'm calling Mike a he. I can't do that out there because I don't know what your acquired gender is. I don't know what your the gender is that you have adopted to yourself. So if you are insensitive to that, then you are considered to be disrespecting a person's choice about the gender that they have chosen to be. And to even say that is hard for my mouth to form because it's so stupid. And yet our world has swallowed that, and we're supposed to conform to that thinking. We're supposed to conform to the acceptance of, like, for example, immigration. If a person wants to come to this country, this is part of the philosophy that we live under today, a post-Christian thing, we have a postmodernism view of things, and what is there for the immigrants coming in, they're to be treated just like a citizen. A hockey announcer in Canada mentioned that in Canada they wear little poppy, flowers to honor veterans in November. He mentioned on the air at a hockey broadcast that, these immigrants that have come in, it'd be nice if you wore the poppies and show, you've come here in the country and you're enjoying the country, then pay some respect to those who have died and given you the country that you live in. They fired him for that. His partner was supportive of what he said. Later on, his partner in the broadcast said, he used some very insensitive language there. That's also known as, maybe I can get that job for myself and do it now instead of him. That's cowardly. On the partner's part. It's cowardly on the part of the business that would fire him. Everyone is intimidated and unable to say the right thing. We don't have free speech anymore because of that. You can't say things anymore like we're supposed to be able to. You're supposed to conform to society's acceptance of same-sex unions. You're supposed to accept that. Not just accept it, not just allow it, but believe in it. That's always the stipulation. You have got to make the cakes. You've got to bake the cakes they want and celebrate with them in their approaching bliss. You need to send them gifts, same-sex unions, rejoice with them, talk about how happy you hope their marriage will be, how it will bear children in some miraculous way, and you got to be on board with that, or you're, again, a hateful person. You're supposed to walk lockstep with the cancel culture. Cancel culture is if somebody doesn't go along with the party line, we push them out of society. London Stock Exchange, one guy over there, a labor guy, said, we're going to get to where we're not going to let companies who do not follow the climate change guidelines that we propose, we're going to kick them out of the stock market. They're not going to be able to do business in Europe. That's cancel culture. Somebody disagrees with you. Somebody disagreed. A black guy, I respect his opinion. He talked about, I don't know if all of you know who Colin Kaepernick is, talked about him in a disparaging way. And other blacks said, hey, you need to get on board and talk like a black person because you're not talking like a black person if you're speaking against him. Well, what is that? That's being racist. Well, you can't do that. You can't. You've got to go along with the party line. Chick-fil-A just caved. You heard. It's paramount to me, and this is not the business, it's not the stores, not William, that level, but the corporate in Atlanta have chosen to not give to the Fellowship of Christian Athletes and Salvation Army on the basis of the fact that they want to appeal to people who are for same-sex unions and such as that. So I don't. You can't even put this on a scale of 1 to 100 as how stupid this is, business-wise and moral-wise. It's one of the stupidest things I've ever heard. Chick-fil-A is the number 3 profitable business in America for food. McDonald's and Starbucks and Chick-fil-A. And now they've just alienated probably millions of people by siding with the others. And what did the others say as soon as they went over to that side? The other side says, well, you need to do more than that. See, it never stops. And they should have known that. But you see, somebody up there who's running the place, and it's not the original owner and the founder, he might come back from the dead now. Just watch for that. Truett Cathy, he may come back. But whoever's up there does not have his sense of business or his courage. We're supposed to conform to all of these things, to sensitive consciences, to people don't like the American flag. We're not supposed to hang it at our house. Be patriotic because some people aren't from America. The social justice stuff, schools have conformed to such a degree that if children do this with their hand, they'll be expelled. By making a handgun, or if a second grader hugs a girl, they're suspended for sexual abuse. Education models have decried grading and comparisons to keep from making other people feel bad about themselves. They don't make a good grade. You know what they did in our day? If we made a bad grade, well, they'd post it on the board to encourage us to do better. I never made bad grades, but they were there. I knew who they were. Now you get a participation trophy instead of winning. There's so many more things. And if you're a coward, we learned at the beach, my cousin and I, we were little. We go to the beach. And it was fun to go out in the waves, be there for hours. One of the games we would play at the beach, we didn't have video games, you see. So we had to go outside. We'd get out there where the waves would start to break it, and we would get our feet set. And we would hold ourselves and try to stand up when the waves hit. Brace ourselves for it. That's what is missing. People don't want to stand against it. They want to go along with everything. That's fun, too, on the waves. But when you talk about principles in society, strength and courage go together. You've got to be strong to be courageous. You've got to be courageous to be strong. Courage for war, courage for keeping the law of God, courage for standing against the drift of the times, the madness of the world. It's a failure in courage if you give up the ground that you've won. The Muslims aren't going to give up the Temple Mount. Israel's not going to give up the Temple Mount. That is irresistible force meets unmovable object. They're not going to do that. The Muslims are going to end up giving it up. But not, they won't now. Because stubbornness in a good thing is good stubbornness. Stubbornness in a bad thing is entrenchment in evil. And in essence, the only way, the only enemy that Israel can be conquered by is fear and cowardice. If they are strong and courageous, no one will stand against them all the days of Joshua's life. And that courage is rooted in the Lord. It wasn't rooted in Joshua. Verse 9 makes that clear. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not tremble or be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. When I was 9 years old, it was a world of difference for being told to go to the store. If I was told to go to the store by myself, no way I could ever do that. But if I was told, my dad says, let's go to the store, I didn't have one bit of fear at all because I was with him. He was the one who was stepping out and being whatever he had to be to get out away from the house, go to the store. It was nothing to him. If I had to do it, I wouldn't have been able to do it. Not at that age. We all came here tonight in the dark. We came out in the dark. It's not easier to travel this time of year. It's dark now, and you know, here we are. In order for Joshua to be and the children of Israel to be where they should be, they would have to get there by being strong and courageous and keeping the law of God as part of that. If they did that, no defeat for the entirety of their lives. Any comments you have or thoughts?